Here's the soil.
We ready? Are we ready down there? Thank you. Okay, I'd like to call the Monday, January 4th Fire Committee meeting to order. You will see that the agenda is not long, but I felt like at the last meeting, we didn't kind of get across the finish line of a discussion about automatic aid and mutual aid, and there actually was some pretty good discussion and comments. So I'm going to ask our chief to kind of take us off from there and kind of highlight. And what you might be able to do for all of our benefits, I know we talk, but as it relates to aid, both mutual and where we're trying to go in the next year, how that, you know, we talked about maybe in April that we have a full discussion on where this is.
I'd like to raise a point of order. We got minutes to approve.
Yes.
We have potential.
Okay. No, that makes sense. Okay.
I hope we don't. Well,
yeah, we're not there yet. You're right. Comments, but that's why you should be the chair. Thank you, Mr. Chapman. Let's go in order, and I think that will make it a whole lot easier. I'd like to call for approval of the minutes of the November 30 meeting.
Moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And any public comments? Look like all familiar faces out here. Okay, so we'll go to number four, and I will continue pontificating here. In your discussion, if you can, on automatic aid agreements, give us the bigger picture, too, of maybe the next 12 months and some of the work that we will have to do as a committee as it relates to this, both mutual and automatic. Thanks, sir.
Absolutely. So I'll quickly go over those slides that we touched on last month. I think by now y'all are well aware of the difference in mutual and auto aid, how it's dispatched. Mutual, again, is requested by the department. Automatic aid happens automatically through the dispatch center. Again, a breakdown of what our mutual aid looked like last year, and I'll point out that Sullivan's is the auto aid, but it's pretty even. Sometimes we give more aid than we receive. Sometimes we receive more aid than we give. You'll notice that the city of Charleston is elevated compared to the others. That's simply because that bridge, the Cooper River Bridge, is a shared jurisdiction. So anytime there's a vehicle accident, a medical emergency on the walkway, a vehicle fire, both jurisdictions respond, and whoever gets there first is who gets there first. So that's a shared jurisdiction. That's why that number is a little bit elevated. And then in our strat plan, it is in our strat plan to look at further auto aid and mutual aid agreements, and we feel like this is the time to kind of take a targeted approach at looking at some of those auto aid agreements that we feel can benefit the citizens as well as our department, but also benefit some of the other jurisdictions as well. So here's a jurisdictional overview of our fire districts. You'll see the six fire districts and how they're laid out over town. And then that number seven is really a medical overlay. It's where our squad is housed, and it's looked at as a medical district, not really a fire district. So we have six fire districts. And you'll see indicated by the arrows there that there's really three main points for what we feel auto aid would kind of benefit. Peninsula, Daniel Island, and then even Clements Ferry Road now, that we feel that auto aid can make a difference in how our response times and also some jurisdictional coverage and things of that nature. And in the next few slides, we'll kind of look at what that would mean if we were in an auto aid group, which engines would actually respond to these calls. So for a commercial response, and that's a commercial building or a multifamily dwelling like an apartment or a townhome, there's six suppression units that respond. There's four engines and two ladder trucks. So looking at District 2, that's the Bell Hall District. If we look door to door at the fire stations, to make it simple, not really a pinpoint of a call in that jurisdiction, but just door to door, which would the closest units be? And as you can see, obviously Engine 2 in that district is going to be first, and then the next three engines would be Mount Pleasant units, but that second ladder would come from Daniel Island. It's 5 miles in distance compared to 8 miles in distance from station number 5 in Dunes West. So in that situation, we would benefit from Daniel Island coming over. And that doesn't take into account, say, if Engine 3 was already on a call. If Engine 3 was farther into their district, it may pull an additional unit from the city of Charleston. So we're probably not going to see response time benefits from the first unit. It's usually going to be a Mount Pleasant unit, but it's those later units that complete the effective response force, that fourth engine, that second ladder, where we're going to see that benefit. And it's similar for some other jurisdictions as well. This is station number 3, close to the bridge. Mm-hmm. As you can see, it's a similar situation. If all units were in-house and we're talking door-to-door, we'd get a unit from the city of Charleston, an engine, and a unit as a ladder for that second ladder. And it plays out the same as well in Dunes West, in the Dunes West area, District 5, that we would likely get a unit from Kanehoy if all units were in-house and everybody was in place. So we do feel there's a need to kind of look at that. We feel that there's some advantage to having 3 entry points into the town where we would get some help quicker than pulling all of our units from Mount Pleasant. Now, we would provide aid as well. There'd be situations where we'd get pulled to these jurisdictions. But we do feel like it's a time to kind of look deeper into this. I've been talking to their chiefs. I want to look at their agreement, have legal look at it. So today, I'm really just kind of want to gauge your interest in this and dig a little further and get a feeling for what this really means for Mount Pleasant.
Great. Thank you for that overview.
And if you don't mind, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll just touch on the benefits again.
Yeah.
We do feel like there's some improved response time, especially for those later units, that third or fourth engine, that second ladder, a reduction in coverage gaps. So what that means, we'll go back to the map, but take, for example, if we have a structure fire call in District 3. Typically, we're going to be pulling a second ladder from in District 5, which is well away, possibly District 6. So we're bringing all of our assets toward the bridge district. And that's creating a huge coverage gap for the north area, the middle of town, where if we had one or two units that came from the city, we would be able to leave those northern units in place in anticipation of a second or a third call. So that's what's meant by reduction in coverage gaps. Also, response force for major incidents. So we do have, you know, several tall buildings in town. Now, they're newer buildings, they're sprinkled, they're minor construction, so the chance of having a large fire in those is slim, but it could happen. You know, sprinkler systems fail, things happen, and if we have a fire in an elevated story, the minimum recommendations is 40 firefighters, and we typically have 30 to 35 a day. If it's a wind-driven fire, if it's larger, you know, we're going to need 50, 60, 70 firefighters. So where are they going to come from? Obviously, they're going to come from surrounding jurisdictions. So being in this auto aid group, responding with them, training with the, you know, city of Charleston, North Charleston, if something like this happens, we're better prepared because we know the tactics, we share tactics, we share SOGs, and the call would run that much smoother and the help would get there that much quicker. And then also consolidation of training, you know, using their resources, things they're better at, and then giving them some of our resources, things we can offer, and just really coming up with kind of a joint look at what firefighting looks like in the Charleston area. And we're lucky, we have a group, the chief's group in Charleston County is really close. We have a Charleston County Chiefs Association, some really good leadership there, to where we share ideas, we share resources, we share, you know, things we failed at so others can get better, and we're very blessed to have that type of group here in Charleston. And in anticipation of a question that I think that, you know, I would have if I was in your position, so what if there's a big fire in the city of Charleston, and that requires multiple of our units being pulled? Technically, that could happen now under mutual aid. A big fire down there, they would request certain things, but the stopgap measure in place is that we have a command staff structure that works 24/7. So our battalion chiefs constantly monitor the jurisdiction. Even if we're not responding auto or mutual aid, if there's several calls going on where they need to shift units, who they need to send, do they need to request mutual aid? So if it came to a situation to where they were requesting more than we felt like we could give, more than the battalion chief felt like they could offer up, they could say no. That's part of the agreement, that we will provide aid until the point where we feel that Mount Pleasant would suffer. So they're in place to say, no, we cannot honor that request. We're down to X number of units, and we're going to keep them in Mount Pleasant, request units from somewhere else. So there is that measure in place to ensure that we never drop below a safe level in Mount Pleasant. And if multiple calls go out, we can still use mutual aid to say, hey, we're a couple units short. Can you send some people over to cover? That's all I have, unless you'll have any questions.
That's great. I appreciate that. Let's start at the end of the table with Mr. Chapman.
Well, first of all, Chief, thank you very much for helping us understand the benefits of automatic aid. Having had a police and fire radio in my previous job for over 30 years, I understand very much what the differences are today versus 15 or 20 years ago when you were talking directly to the individual jurisdictions versus going through a consolidated dispatcher. Time is significant. And for firefighting, time is lives and money. So the automatic aid issue, to me, is a big deal. And for those who think, you know, we might have to send too many pieces of equipment to Charleston, Charleston also has aid from North Charleston, James Island, and St. Andrews. So it's not like we're their only assistance. Certainly on the bridge, we probably are. But on the bridge, again, time is critical for not only the issue of life-saving, but also the issue of lost time for people stuck in a traffic jam that has not been resolved because of lack of equipment or personnel. So I'm all for whatever we can do to have that automatic aid available to us as much as reasonably possible, but also it is a training benefit for our personnel working directly with other jurisdictions, just like it's a benefit to them. So I'm all for it.
Ms. Landy?
My first question is, are we going to have an action, like want to send something to council in terms of recommendation? Send to council to approve the idea, or do we need something like that?
I think that one action that we could take is to continue with the mutual and automatic aids that are in place right now until our discussion later in the year that's going to discuss all mutual aid. That would help us if we had that.
So, Chief Mixon, you're not looking for us to move forward with giving our blessing to automatic aid now, or you are?
We're not looking. I'm sorry, if I can.
Yes, sir.
And I know I'm not the chief.
No, it's fine. You're the chairman.
We're not looking to change anything right now. Nothing at all. If I have that correct, I mean, we're going to continue business as usual until we have a discussion later that discuss all benefits of mutual aid and automatic aid in all jurisdictions.
Yes, sir. And I wanted to this came up originally with Sullivan's Island, but I wanted to let y'all know that we are looking to expand in some areas, targeted areas that we feel can really benefit the citizens, and get a feel for where y'all were with that and just move forward with further research. I don't know that we need an action item. Really just a presentation to let you know this is something we're looking at.
Does it give you a stronger position? I mean, your position's already strong, but does it give you a stronger position that you know council is behind this, if that makes the most sense, and that's a reason for us to make a motion earlier rather than later?
Mr. DeMore, can you jump in here?
Yeah, absolutely. Excellent questions. The first is procedural. My comment is, it's just a discussion item and not an action item. But besides that, it is certainly within the purview of committee today to be talking about automatic aid agreements and continuing the chief's inquiry to other jurisdictions about it. At least in my view, we're good where we are and don't need any further direction.
If I could then, okay, so then knowing that, that we don't need to have an action before discussion. A couple things I wanted to just observe. One is the automatic aid, especially the way you laid it out so clearly with the location, how much closer. I mean, 2 miles in Mount Pleasant can mean a huge amount of time when you're talking about especially traffic heavy times, but there's almost no untraffic heavy time anymore, unheavy traffic time. And so it's very, very clear, as Councilman Chapman has pointed out, that this is a very, very good idea to pursue, and we certainly are behind you 100% in seeing what makes sense. And I also love the idea of the joint training. There's no doubt that the people that you work with all the time are the ones you're a team. And so the more you can have that same team spirit with folks from other jurisdictions, that's going to help a lot. The one question that came up before, and I just wanted to double check, and is that when we were talking about the Sullivan's Island situation, there was the comment that because of auto aid being something where you automatically send assets out, that a lot of times it is something more minor and you have to basically go out and then turn around and come back. Is there some way with your command center aspect that if you can pretty quickly tell that, how much of a problem do you really believe that is, or can they pretty quickly be recalled if they really aren't needed this particular call?
Yeah, that's a good question. So say we were pulled over to the peninsula. The first arriving unit, the first arriving chief down there, if they make the determination that, hey, this is a pot on a stove, we don't need this full response force, that would be immediately indicated over the radio. They'd cancel, they'd turn around and go home. And I think to kind of piggyback off that, I think that helps us as well, because there are several times a year that we get called to a structure fire in Mount Pleasant. It's not reflected in the 200 or so calls. It could be somebody thinks they see smoke, or it could be an electrical issue that's really not indicated in the data as a structure fire. So especially in the south end, or even in the north end, where you have units responding to one end of the jurisdiction, we are lucky to have traffic preemption. We think that's really going to affect response times. It's safer, it gets units through the jurisdiction quicker. But also on that flip side, returning to your jurisdiction in a non-emergent manner, you don't get the benefit of traffic preemption. So just getting back to your station through that traffic, once you've come all the way south or gone all the way north, we feel that auto aid can fill in some of that gap. Mm-hmm. So yes, as soon as we realize that a call is really not a structure fire, we try to cancel as many units as quickly as possible to keep them in place. So that would be reciprocated if we were called to another jurisdiction.
And one quick follow-up, thank you. One quick follow-up is one of the most important thing that we do as council is making sure that the budget is in place for everything that's needed, and especially providing for anything to do with the defense of our citizens. And I say that because there's been an awful lot of talk about needing more firefighters, needing to have 4 people on every engine every time it goes out, et cetera. You don't ever want to cut corners and then think there was a life lost because of it, or a property destroyed that could have been saved if we had simply spent a little more money. So the question comes down to, do you think that auto aid actually does very, very well help fill that that need, that if you've got these folks so close that does the trick, but does what's needed just as well or you know, sufficiently? Does that help a lot? Does it help with our ratings?
Yes. So I do believe that our fire department still needs to move toward a certain level that we outlined in the strat plan with staffing, with additional units in the future. I feel that auto aid is just an additional step to get us quicker response time, safer response, because it does build upon itself. The quicker we can get units there, regardless if it's us or the city of Charleston, like Mr. Chapman alluded to, when seconds count, we're really looking at seconds, how we can get there as quickly as possible. So whether that's a city unit or us, it is ultimately safer. And then the third part of your question, I'm sorry, it was...
I think that you answered all of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Rambo.
I guess what I just don't understand is how we got to the point where everyone has mutual aid and Sullivan's Island has automatic aid. I guess that's just the part that I don't quite understand.
So historically, many, many years ago, ISO was a pretty big factor in insurance ratings and things of that nature. And that still does play into insurance ratings, but I don't think it's as heavily impactful as it used to be. We looked at their ladder coverage and the ability to fill a small gap in the McCants area on a structure fire to provide us a ladder, and then we reciprocated an engine to them. So it was a kind of a mutually beneficial thing to where it affected both ISO ratings, and ISO's changed some, so it's a little blurry whether or not there's still that benefit. But I do feel that ladder truck getting into that part of town, especially if it was a commercial like we talked about, or the second ladder's coming all the way from Dunes West, it is a benefit to have that ladder truck on scene. So that's kind of why I'm still in favor of it, but historically it was an ISO rating issue. Okay. Not issue, but a benefit.
So Councilman Santos obviously is the one who raised this point initially, and I know he did a lot of research and feels as though maybe the automatic aid is not correct and that council has put in mutual aid. And so that's kind of the part I just don't understand is how it got to that point. So anyway, that's, I don't know what to do about that, but there it is.
Yeah, I'm not sure I heard your question.
Nothing. We're good.
You sure?
We're good. Yeah.
Okay, there's no action for this item. And we will hopefully continue discussion in the months ahead to really, you know, you'll think about it, you'll discuss it with your staff, you'll come to us, and we'll get you the approval to move forward to do the job you need to do. I think it'll be a good discussion.
All right. Yes. One more question. So do you know, so does the city of Charleston or, I know we have our automatic aid with Sullivan's Island, but the vast majority of the aid agreements in Charleston County are mutual.
Yes, sir.
Do you know of any other automatic aid agreements within the county between other jurisdictions?
Yes, sir. So there is, it's kind of colloquially called the Fab Five, but City of Charleston, North Charleston, St. Andrews, James Allen, and St. John's Fire Department are currently in an auto aid agreement.
Right.
Okay. Within the county. And they've built similar standard operating guidelines, similar response plans, and we've kind of built our new stuff on that in anticipation that if we go there, one, it's really good what they've done. I mean, they've done an incredible job. But two, if we move toward that auto aid agreement in the future, we're set up and we're trained and we're ready to roll in with as little hiccups as possible.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Anything else?
No, I'd just like to thank the chief for helping us better understand. I was most familiar with the Charleston St. Andrews thing because of the jurisdiction and a little bit James Island Charleston, and you know that the lines were such that it was just difficult and time consuming when time was lives. And you know, we're in the same position today, and obviously we were when we did the thing with Sullivan's Island. So I'm glad to see us move forward with other possibilities, because our most important thing for our citizens is public safety.
Sure.
And fire and police is public safety, and it's critical that we do the best we can to have the availability of public safety for our residents.
Okay, and the thing I heard best was the question you asked for us. You have the ability to say, sorry, we can't. And that really helps us know that you're not going to allow anything to be unprotected. So that's good. All right, well, thank you very much, and this will adjourn this meeting.
Thank you.
On time.
Yeah, right on time.